News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 3 weeks into the government shutdown, Republican senators are expected to head to the White House today. They've got a group lunch with President Trump. On November 1st, supplemental food benefits for low-income Americans will be cut off because of the shutdown. Also November 1st, open enrollment for those Obamacare begins without government help paying for premiums. The president of the Louvre will appear before France's Senate Culture Committee today, talking about the brazen jewel heist on Sunday. ABC's James Longman has the latest from Paris.
Grand moment d'émotion, un grand moment de bouleversement.
France's culture minister calling the raid an attack on French history and culture, and that the thieves spent just 3 minutes and 50 seconds inside the Apollo Gallery. The race is on to find eight of France's priceless crown jewels. The thieves did leave behind their gloves, gasoline, and a blowtorch, all now undergoing DNA analysis.
Amid reports of predators online, investigators in Florida are demanding access to Roblox. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 6.7 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.61 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 28.6 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 32.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.36 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.17 a gallon, a difference of 81 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 4.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.98 a gallon. The national average is down 19.3 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 15.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled for more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 3.7 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.59 per gallon. Gas prices have finally fallen below $3 per gallon nationally, the earliest date we've seen a $2.99 national average since 2020, when COVID was the primary driver of low prices, said Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for this trend, having steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
The future for Luke Fickle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickle was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickle in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season, you know, just finishing. Finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasize, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy, blustery, and colder with some scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid to upper 40s. An isolated shower in the evening, otherwise breezy and cold with lows in the upper 30s. Current temperature is 43.
The dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The daggers.
Got it, and a foul. Good job, Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation point.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good again! And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Winter for three straight on, straight in.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us. We're going to talk about some little shakeup in the Wisconsin GOP.
Indeed. As one letter said, the quiet part was said out loud, I guess. So we'll find out more in a little while with
in
Pat.
In disarray.
Disarray.
also, he said he wouldn't touch the White House.
Well, to be fair, Jane, he didn't. So there's that.
Donald Trump said his big blob of a billionaire ballroom wasn't going to affect the actual White House structure. Of course, that was a lie.
A complete lie.
There were photos from yesterday showing the destruction of part of the East Wing, which is where the First Lady used to have her offices.
She's in Florida.
Or New York.
We'll talk more about that with Pat as well.
Pat. Pretty amazing. And it's really interesting seeing some of the justification from people on the right.
Of course, that's what they have to do. But yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Coming up next hour after the 10 o'clock news, the fallout continues now from the comment that Donald Trump made about importing Argentine beef.
That was one that was not on the bingo card at all.
Yeah. This is not playing well.
No.
Not a surprise among American beef producers.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that after 10 o'clock. Also, oopsie doodles. I think this is what happens when you hire people who aren't qualified. Some little mistakes made by one of the Trump administration lawyers. Kind of a basic that you would have thought she would have known about. But again, she doesn't have any experience. So, but we'll kick that around next hour. And then for the last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we'll lighten it up with Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about sillier things. Today, we're going to talk about how you approach chores.
Yes.
I'm going to get up on Saturday morning and I'm going to have my coffee. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to do X and B and C and Q and do all these things.
Yeah.
Do you parse it out? Okay. Do a little at a time?
Yeah.
How do you approach chores?
How do you chore? Yeah.
That is our Audio Sorbet question for today. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Buzz Off edition. So stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off and at least acknowledge that I'm really, really grateful this morning that we didn't have to come on the air and talk about another mass shooting in America.
Yeah.
This after authorities in Atlanta say they stopped a mass shooting at the Atlanta airport. A man's family tipped off police.
Wow.
They found an AR-15 with 27 rounds of ammo in his truck, parked outside the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. If his family had not called,
yeah,
this could have been a huge tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Cagle, 49, arrested on suspicion of making terroristic threats, criminal attempt to commit aggravated assault, as well as firearms charges. They're trying to identify a motive. They do say he has mental challenges, but did not give specifics. He wrote on Facebook on Sunday, "I told my kids if anything happens to me, sue, they can get $50 to $100 million.
Yeah, that's...
His family alerted police in a town northwest of Atlanta that he was live streaming his plans to do this shooting on social media. He was headed to the airport to shoot it up. His family said he was in possession of an assault rifle. What was unknown at that time is that he was already at the airport.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, tragedy averted.
Yeah.
This could be a much, much different thing had his family not called and given law enforcement a heads up. So let's be grateful for that.
I mean, yeah, there's so much within this story, you know, like, good on the family. Thank you to the police and the authorities who responded and took and prevented this. The mayor of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, says we're standing here right now talking about tragedy averted instead of 27 plus lives that were lost or injured in the world's busiest airport. I mean, there's so much in something that was terrible. Good came of it, but also, and I'll never defend someone's choice to do these things, but this is also a commentary on mental health access, healthcare access, things people need. And if this man faced mental challenges, that's something I think is worth discussing. Okay. Every time there's a mass shooting and we lose life, it's tragic. And we get lost in the minutiae of thoughts and prayers. Don't make it political. Don't say anything. It's too soon. The back and forth we do every single time, like it's the first time. But this is a time where it was averted and it's taken care of. He will be dealt with legally. Like, he will get, like, the law will handle him.
Right.
Okay. He had mental challenges. Now we can talk about it because no lives were lost. Nobody was hurt. Everything was done correctly. But we're still sitting with this man who faces problems.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. We can do that now.
Well, and let's talk about funding for healthcare,
which is something both sides always talk about. We need to talk about mental health. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Where I'm sitting here, I'll buy the first round of coffee.
Yep.
Let's talk about mental health in this country.
And how we pay for it.
Yep. Nope. Nope. That's not what we do. That's not what we ever do.
Unfortunately not. At the same time, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop. And I would love to know if this is something that you would like as a resident of Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. Wisconsin Republicans introduce bill to allow concealed carry without a permit. A group of Republicans introducing measures at expanding access to firearms, including allowing for concealed carry without a license and strengthening language around the right to bear arms in the Wisconsin Constitution. The proposals include making firearms, ammunition, crossbows, and more merchandise exempt from sales tax every year on the 4th of July and during the third week of December. So I guess you can arm up before Christmas. For many Wisconsinites, firearm and archery traditions are more than recreation. They're a way of life passed down through the state, according to Senator Andre Jacques and State Representative Chance Green. Hunting, sports shooting, and self-defense are deeply woven into the fabric of our communities. The two also proposed eliminating permit requirements for firearm owners who want to carry concealed weapons.
Okay.
Under the bill, law-abiding adults won't need a license to carry a concealed firearm in public. Is this something that you would like in Wisconsin? 855-752-4842.
I would second a follow-up question. Is this something you want? Is this something that we need to talk about with regard to all the concerns?
I'm wondering where this came from, because according to Marquette University, and they do their law school polls.
Oh, yes.
Most Wisconsinites do not want this. Most Wisconsinites actually would like universal background checks and red flag laws.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I have heard constituents want, not this.
We've been talking about it since we were blue in the face, and we're blue in the face, however you want to say it, is that most of this country agrees that sensible, logical gun safety measures should be in place to make sure. And don't give me, well, how does that change anything? Well, we got to start somewhere. And also, the law school poll shows that people are in favor of certain measures to strengthen the safety protocols on accessing firearms. What you don't see, and I have not heard Dan Schaefer ever talk, because we always break down that Marquette poll, when they ask people in Wisconsin what concerns you most in the state, top three answers are never gun access. It's never, you know, my kid's education, price of groceries, and I can't get enough guns. Also, as far as the Wisconsin Constitution, this is what it says. Article 1, Section 25 of the Wisconsin Declaration of Rights. The people have the rights to keep and bear arms for security, defense, hunting, recreation, or any other lawful purpose. I don't know how you, quote, strengthen that anymore. I don't know how, like.
Yeah, that's kind of what they, what these changes that they're proposing are kind of already in there.
And when you are a hunter, I'm also tired of hunting as a lifelong tradition here in the state and the country. Yeah, it is. I understand that. It's a tradition passed down from parents to child through the generations. Fine, whatever. Hunt if you want. But not in the same sentence say people need to access, people need to be able to conceal carry too. Because I know a lot of hunters who are keeping that rifle underneath their jacket just in case a deer pops out of the quick trip. This is ridiculous. They are using a very logical form of gun access, hunting, and protection, but they just want people to carry a gun on their hip wherever they go because everyone wants to be John Wayne.
Well, it might be on your hip, but under your jacket.
Yes, exactly.
855-752-4842. Jean from Eau Claire, you're going to start things off. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about this?
This is my opinion. Now, this is a case for people needing mental health care immediately. We need to get that covered, and we need to get them assessed because this is ridiculous. It's easy for people to get those carry permits if they should be able to pass, you know, what they need to do and to be checked out on. I have family members that have those, and they need to have those. Mm-hmm. This is outrageous. I'll tell you something. This is nuts. And somebody once said to me, and I thought they were goofy, they said to me, they're trying to kill us all off or create so much chaos, I don't know. So thank you very much for bringing this up. Yeah. Boy, I hope people get out there and vote these people out of office. We need safety in our country. You have a good day, and thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Bob and Eau Claire texting in, listening on WCFW. I think we should have unlimited access to any gun widely available in 1776.
I saw a bumper sticker that said Second Amendment like it's 1776. So I'm like, what, you want muskets? Like, you want to run around with a musket?
One-shot muskets.
One shot, and then you get 2 to 3 minutes to reload. But also, I think what Gene's talking about is, I don't know about, I don't subscribe to the whole, like, they're letting us kill each other thing. I think it's that they're pacifying us with these things, as long as they can say, hey, you get your guns, man, and you get this, man, and we won't be in your business. Well, they're in our business, but the guns shouldn't be the carrot.
Wisconsin Republicans want to circulate a bill introducing a measure that would allow concealed carry without a permit. We would love to hear from you. Is this something that you want? 855-752-4842. Brett and Ollie, I see you. We will take you when we come back on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After serving less than 4 months of a 7-year sentence, disgraced New York Congressman George Santos had his sentence commuted by President Donald Trump on October 17th. Santos had pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft in August 2024. Shortly after the newly elected congressman took office, inconsistencies surfaced about Santos's resume and financial dealings. The FBI, IRS, and the U.S. Attorney's Office investigated, and in May 2023, leveled 13 charges of wire fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and lying on U.S. House financial forms. More charges of identity theft and credit card fraud followed in October 2023. After a plea deal, Santos pleaded guilty on reduced charges, was forced to pay restitution, and began serving an 87-month sentence in July 2025. U.S. Attorney John Durham said at the time, "Today, George Santos was finally held accountable for the mountain of lies, theft, and fraud he perpetrated." October 13th, Santos published an open letter to Trump in the South Shore Press, saying, quote, "I am asking for fairness, for the chance to rebuild." In commuting his sentence on Friday, Trump wrote, "George Santos was somewhat of a rogue, but there are many rogues throughout our country that aren't forced to serve 7 years in prison." We've linked the Santos letter at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to sign up for our Civic Media Daily Newsletter. Mm-hmm. Civic Media Today, everything you need. It comes right to your inbox, and it is completely free. So just head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com, mm-hmm. and you can subscribe for free. It's pretty great.
It's wonderful.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin Republicans introduce bill to allow concealed carry without a permit. And we're going to take your calls in just a second. But, Greg, you were mentioning what the current process is. How egregious is the current process in order to get a permit for concealed carry?
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean,
do you have to wait like several months?
Well, I have to pay $75,000 and go to a 12-week boot camp on concealed carry. No, it's not that at all. You'd be 21 years old, be a current Wisconsin resident with a valid driver's license or ID. You must not be prohibited from having a firearm as like, you know,
a felon
or whatnot. Provide a proof of adequate firearm training. That firearm training, provide proof of adequate firearm training. You are not required to. There is no
training class.
There's training classes, but the people who give the training classes, they don't have to be certified through a program. My friend who is a gun enthusiast once said to me, "I could go to a guy's house, he could write in his non-dominant hand in crayon that I passed his course and they would give me the gun."
855-752-4842. Is this something we all want? Concealed carry without a permit. Brett from Brown Deer, thank you for your patience, Brett. What did you want to say about this?
Oh, good morning, Jane, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Little quick background. I have been a gun owner my whole life. I'm 63 years old. I've traveled to 28 countries on four continents, and I've been to 48 of the 50 states. I've never had to go out and carry my GAC waiting for something to go down.
Right.
This is a recipe for disaster, because right now you've got Republicans telling their base, you got enemies within America. Now you want them walking the streets carrying guns?
Yep.
I don't know if that guy heading into this 7-Eleven or Quick Trip, if he's about to shoot the place up, mm-hmm. or if he's just worried, you know.
Right.
You know, my penis is large enough. I don't need my gun with
me. Good to know. Thank you very much, Brett. As always, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for making our content for the day, Brett. That's pretty
I don't know if we can do that as content, but yeah.
That's not a bad word.
But he brings up, you're right, it's a medical word,
it
folks.
It is a medical word.
Look it up. Don't Google it, because you don't know what's going to happen. But that's a very valid point. I don't know anybody I know. Well, I want to say I know because I don't know anybody, but anyone out there who finds it necessary to carry their gun on their hip that isn't a cop or military or some sort of person trained to carry it, you're living in a John Wayne fantasy. You're looking for possible trouble. You think, no, that's never how it goes down. You don't pull out the gun and save the day. People generally get hurt.
Well, and again, if you are law enforcement mm-hmm. and you come into a situation, say you're in a 7-Eleven mm-hmm. and there's a bad guy who's got a gun and you have a concealed carry guy who's got a gun and they start exchanging gunfire and the police come onto the situation, how do you know who is the bad guy with the gun?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, how do you know who is the good guy with the gun? John from Oshkosh texting in. Listening on WISS, concealed carry permitting needs to be more stringent.
Mm-hmm.
Regular proficiency testing and regular rechecks need to happen. Currently, you need basic hunter's safety to qualify. I know people I don't trust with a safety scissors that have concealed carry. It's scary.
I've told this story before, and I'm going to continue to tell it until I'm no longer allowed to say it. I once spoke to the police chief of Racine, and I asked him about this, and he said he does not have a problem with people carrying guns as long as once a year they have to go through the same firearms training and review and follow-up that all of his officers must go through to carry a firearm as part of their job. If you do that, then we'll talk. But this unfettered access to just being able to carry a gun with you no matter what, it's bad for business, especially for police.
855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods, you get the final word on this, Ollie, before we go to the news. What did you want to say?
Well, first off, I cannot beat the gentleman who was on the phone, given that I'm a woman.
True.
And I was wondering about Gene's comment about the mental health issues. I wasn't sure. I was a bit confused whether she was talking about the gentleman at the airport or whether she was talking about the legislatures who are trying to pass this bill.
I see what you did there, Ollie. I see what you did there.
We followed that, Ollie.
smashing commentary, smashing satire. I mean,
no, I don't think that they should change things. We are probably one of the few countries who carries a ton of guns.
Yeah.
And there are actually more gun owners than there more guns owned
than people
in this country than there are people.
Yep. We are the most heavily armed society by far. By far.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as John Stewart has said, if more guns make us safer, when is that going to kick in?
Yes, exactly.
When is that going to kick in?
Yeah.
We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You made
from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Aaron on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. A two-vehicle crash Sunday morning resulted in injury. At approximately 8:25, the Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified of a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of Highway 18 and County Highway F in Fenimore Township. Grant County deputies, along with emergency crews from Fenimore Fire and EMS and the Fenimore Police Department, responded to the scene. During the investigation, it was determined that John Haas, 41 of Potosi, was traveling north on County F. As he approached the intersection with Highway 18, he failed to stop at the stop sign on F at Highway 18 and continued into the intersection. At the same time, Kevin Megan, 28 of Poplar Grove, Illinois, was traveling west on Highway 18. Megan's vehicle struck the passenger side of Haas's vehicle while causing heavy damage to both vehicles as they came to rest in the north ditch. Fenimore EMS treated both parties at the scene, and Kevin Megan was transported to the Grant Regional Health Center in Lancaster for treatment of his injuries. John Haas was taken by private vehicle to a care provider. Heavy fog is believed to be a contributing factor in the crash. The American Red Cross is asking you to make an appointment now to give blood or platelets. You can help by donating at an area blood drive. A blood drive will be held Wednesday from 9:30 to 1:30 at the American Legion in Waniwak. Make an appointment to give by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Aris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy, blustery, and colder with some scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid to upper 40s. An isolated shower in the evening, otherwise breezy and cold with lows in the upper 30s. Current temperature is 43.
Like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different, and I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful, that taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid this studio. We'll be dealing with home.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Don't cry for me,
Argentina. Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined every other week by the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. This would be Pat Kreitlow. Good morning. How are you?
That would be me, wouldn't it? Yes, it is.
That is you.
Hi. Yes. So happy to be here. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. We wanted to talk a little bit about news that broke yesterday. I'm curious to get your read on this. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Kelly Rue resigns as treasurer for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, citing dysfunctional leadership. I'm curious what your first reaction was, Pat, when you saw that.
No lies detected. Yes, that's true.
And we're out, folks. Thanks very much.
Okay, yeah.
Have a great day, everyone. News is solved.
The gist of the letter is that, look, I'm a top official with this party.
And she's been there she's been there a long time, right?
Which of course means they're part of the old guard. You know, they have to go.
Oh.
They still believe in these things like rules, democracy,
the Constitution,
factual, you know, financial statements, things like that. And the point she's making in the letter is that, you know, there's been a lot of pressure to not abide by those safeguards, those checks and balances. In other words, she's feeling pressure from people who went to the Donald Trump School of Management, which is my way or the highway. Do what I say. I don't care what your past rules and safeguards and procedures said. Just do it the way that we want it to be done. And thankfully, there are still people with integrity and a backbone and are able to say, no, thank you. My work is done here. And that doesn't go away quietly, but says, by the way, I'm going to let everybody know what you did that forced me to resign this position that I didn't want to leave.
Is this going to have any ramifications, though? I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I do think she took a principled stance. Mm-hmm. But yes. Now she's left, and they can, the newbies, the Trump
can
lights,
put in another loyalist.
Can just shove somebody else in there who's going to do exactly what they tell them to do.
Yes, in the short term, that's exactly what happened. What happens, same as we're seeing that in the first Trump term, there were people who were playing the role of guardrails. And now with those people gone, you've got the rogues gallery, island of misfit toys, cabinet that is there right now. But as each one of those people comes in and shows how inept they are at this particular job, it does have an impact on people. And as Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area pointed out on our show last hour, Donald Trump's probably not gaining a lot of supporters. He's trying to make the current ones happy by throwing more red meat and more red meat. And something like this, all it does is it again makes just a few other people out there go, maybe this isn't the Republican Party I used to know. The party that I used to know would stand up to Russia. The party that I know would put American farmers ahead of farmers in Argentina. The party I know, if they said we're not going to damage the White House, would not bring in a demolition crew to tear down the eastern freaking facade of the White House.
Yeah.
That just makes a few more people each instance go, yeah, maybe not this guy anymore. I was wrong. It's why you went from a couple of million people marching in June to 7 to 8 million people this weekend. And maybe we're getting close to that 3.5% tipping point that Cam Stevenson was talking about on our show about when you get in other countries, once you get above that 3.5% of people willing to take to the streets and protest, those governments don't tend to last because they have lost public confidence.
Something that's in my mind, first of all, the red meat comment is very perfect because that red meat probably came from Argentina. But the question I have is someone like Brian Schimming, who is the head of the GOP, Wisconsin GOP, I should say, when he came into office, when he got his position back in late 2023, he seemed to be a figurehead of righting the ship. He seemed to be level-headed. He spoke he spoke about things. He said we need to get rid of all of our taboos. We need to slay the sacred cows.
We
need
to bank our votes.
He said we need to stop fearing early voting. And there is plenty of evidence to show that Republicans' early voting in 2024 did make a major impact. But the question I have is, what does this leave for Brian Schimming? Because is he going to fall into line, or is he going to be out? Because we always hear these rumors and whatnot that the GOP isn't happy with him. But I mean, what do they want then? I mean, if he can just stand there and tweet like he tweets all the time, that's fine. But they don't really need a figurehead. They just need someone saying, yeah, we'll do that. We'll absolutely whatever you need us to do, sir, we will do that.
Well, there have been no shortage of people that said, I will be the one that will talk some sense into this person.
Yeah.
John Kelly, Mick Mulvaney, Mark Meadows,
right.
Susie Wiles, Reince Priebus. I mean, the list just goes on and on of people that go, I will be the stabilizing force in the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the National Republican Party, the Trump White House, and where are those people now? John Bolton. The saying that you see on social media is everything Trump touches dies. And it means that no matter how much people think they're the ones who can mold him and change him and show him how he can be even better if he would just turn over a new leaf, you know, end up having their hopes and dreams and sometimes their personal freedom crushed.
And if you're just joining us right now, we're speaking to the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, right here on Civic Media, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I suggest you listen because it's a very, very good show. And you're very welcome. And that's the other thing, too, is that I can't not think of the media, too, especially in the first term. We really haven't seen it in the second term because, as you've said, the guardrails are off. But anytime someone with a modicum of level-headed thinking, everyone fell over themselves in the media to say, see, here it is.
The savior.
Here's the savior, the voice of reason.
Right.
Jared and Ivanka were given that
the calming
duty.
Influence. They were going to be a calming influence.
But that's just never going to be what's happened because once he gets them into their grips, they see that this power, I mean, two words, Marco Rubio.
I was just going to say they go in two directions. Either they go towards the way of becoming a sycophant, the Marco Rubio, or they just go silent. Hello, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Hello, Earth to Mitt Romney.
Seriously.
Any sign whatsoever of Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
No, none whatsoever. And there is no other lane when you're dealing with an authoritarian. You either comply or you go away.
Yep.
And that's where we're at.
Kelly Rue, this is what we're talking about if you're just joining us. Kelly Rue resigned from her position as treasurer of the Republican Party of Wisconsin over the weekend, saying she can no longer meaningfully contribute to leadership. This, I think, is important. By the way, she's worked for the party for about a decade. She said there is, quote, an absence of a strategic plan, defined objectives, and measurable outcomes alongside budgetary issues. That sounds like that's the whole Trump administration. There's no plan. There's a plan coming out in 2 weeks. We have pages and pages and pages of plans.
We have concepts.
We have concepts and pages
concept
of plans.
Concept of a plan.
Yes.
Exactly. And we got that, you know, at the more local level as well. I recall having on the show as a guest, Tracy Ann Mangold, who'd been, I believe, the treasurer for the 8th Congressional District Republican Party, in Northeast Wisconsin, who again left for many of those same reasons, that when you stand up for following the rules, you are right away now tarred and feathered and driven out, you know, doxed, harassed, whatever the case may be, because the people who are ascendant in power see that bullying now works because bullying is no longer seen as bullying. Bullying is seen as a strategy. You know, the New York Times will talk about Trump's latest strategy. And it's bullying, or it's lying, or it's cheating. And as long as you have a media that wants to sugarcoat or sanewash these things, well, then the people who actually want to abide by the rules no longer have the protection of, say, you know, a media ecosystem that is actually going to call something what it is and instead try to sanewash it.
I will say this, too. I think it's very interesting. I'm glad you found that, Jane, that Kelly Rue was with them for
a decade.
And according to Brett Galazuski, who actually put this tweet on Twitter, referred to her as the old guard. A decade is 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Trump was about to win his first term. That's how they see it. Like, even Trump term one is obsolete. You are not good enough if you are part, like, unless you came up like a Stephen Miller or whomever. If you're part of that old guard, which old guard to me, when I think old guard, I think of people who've been in for like 30, 40 years. That's not old. That's the problem.
Well, but aren't they rhinos now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she is now for sure.
Right. And I'm wondering too, Pat, though, if this isn't now an opportunity again, and we see it from all the people who turned out for the No Kings rallies on Saturday. There were independents there. There were Republicans there. There were Democrats there. There were unaffiliateds there. But is this an opportunity for the Democratic Party to welcome people like Kelly Rue?
Well, of course. And then we, you know, that takes us into a whole different discussion of, you know, to what degree the Democratic Party should be appealing to moderates as opposed to, as you know, there's a faction that wants the party to go more to the left and be more bold. That's a discussion for another time. But why wouldn't you take advantage of the opportunity to welcome people who have been lifelong Republicans or right-leaning voters and let them know that they are not politically homeless?
Right.
They may not want to vote Democratic, you know, all the way down from this point forward, but there's no shortage of election cycles in this country where people vote for the party they normally don't, simply as a check and balance to send a message going, that party, the Democrats in, you know, 2010, the Republicans in 2006, that party's gotten too big for their own britches.
Yeah. Yep.
And so they either vote the other way or they just stay home, which can also have that same impact.
Well, and I also think, too, you know, it's not about like this whole thing about the big tent and welcoming them in. I think it's important to welcome the people in to say, let's do the work together. But just look overseas instead of saying, oh, you're all part of the Democratic Party. No, just coalitions. Build coalitions with groups of individuals who you disagree with, but you can come together on basic principles. You don't have to be a card-carrying member. You don't have to love Barack Obama. You don't have to believe in universal health care, but do you believe in democracy? Cool. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And then we move forward.
I love that. Don't try to be a third party. Third parties just aren't going anywhere in this country. But similarly, you don't have to become a part of the Democratic Party, but you can clearly identify yourself as a group, a disaffected group of former Republicans or independents or whatever, and say, you know, look, we are a bloc. We're not a party, but we are a bloc. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be with you if you want a $30 minimum wage or something like that.
Right.
But we are going to be with you with, you know, democracy.
Yeah. Democracy. The Constitution. Those little things.
Simple concept. Am I right?
Pesky.
You should listen to Pat Kreitlow Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9 a.m. on Civic Media. Thank you so much, Pat. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. When we return, he said he would not touch the White House actual building. That was a lie.
Yeah.
We'll kick that around next. The big, beautiful billionaire ballroom. It's all coming up. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, last half an hour of the show for Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from the news, so we can all take a mental breath. We're going to talk about chores and how you approach doing chores. Do you jump out of bed Saturday morning and you just start attacking the garage? Do you jump out of bed Saturday morning, have a bowl of cereal, a cup of coffee, look at the garage and go, maybe I'll do that later?
Hey, there's my garage.
There, it's there. Chores. How do you approach your chores? That is our Audio Sorbet question for you. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Buzz Off edition, so stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off talking a little bit about the demolition of the East Wing of the White House.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said when he talked about building his big billionaire ballroom that they were not going to touch the existing White House structure. That's a lie.
Well, and that was the thing too, is when he talked about this ballroom, he kept pointing into a direction and I'm like, where is this going to go? If you don't know that area, well, DC is finite, real finite.
It's very, a very small.
And the property of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, while it's a gigantic in its scope, it's still, there's not a lot of room for building on that area.
Right.
Because every piece of land is used for something. So I'm like, where is this going to go? And then I saw the pictures yesterday, and I won't lie, it was jarring to witness, to see the destruction of the White House and just being taken down with a
backhoe.
Yeah, a backhoe.
Yeah.
It was, no words.
The demolition work comes despite Trump insisting during the executive order signing in July that the renovations wouldn't, quote, interfere with the current building. These are all quotes. It won't be. It'll be near it, but not touching it, and pays total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of. It's my favorite. It's my favorite place. Yeah, that's a lie. Crews started tearing down the East Wing's covered entrance on Monday with videos showing cranes and backhoes smashing up windows and ripping away the facade. And as Lori texted in from Hayward, good morning, Jane and Greg. I thought you'd like to know, Donald Trump is furious. People are seeing photos of the demolition of the East Wing of the White House. So he has ordered his minions to not take or post any photos of the project.
That's too late, buddy. That's too late. That one's out. You did something outside in public for people to see. It's a very, very not unseeable thing. Like, yeah. People, like, if you are standing outside, they cannot cover the whole thing up.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
Why, they think they can sneak this?
I mean, this is... The White House is being demolished because the next thing they'll say, well, we're going to get rid of this next. And people are going to say, fine.
Well, certainly every Republican in Congress will say fine. And by the way, if you would, because our Republican House representatives haven't been to work now for a month, maybe you want to call them and let them know how you feel about these changes.
You should absolutely call them
at the White House. If you're not sure where to find our Republican representatives' phone numbers, all you have to do is go to myvote.wi.gov and put in your address, and that will bring up all of the phone numbers for all of our elected officials. Rita in La Crosse, listening on WLCX, who the hell does he think he is? That White House is our White House. I am so angry.
I don't know how to. I don't know how you defend this. Okay, first of all, said he wouldn't touch the White House. Lied.
Lied.
Said it wasn't going to come out of our pockets. I don't believe that until I see it. He's still holding fundraisers to fund. To me, like I was always raised, you pay for something, you buy something, you get the money first. He does. It's $250 million. BS. This will be a $500 million. When you're taking down part of the White House, this is going to be $500 million, if not more than $1 billion to do. And I want to know what Secret Service is doing right now, probably running around that building trying to secure giant holes in the building.
Ronnie from Horicon, listening on WAUK, that wing should have been respectfully disassembled. This demonstrates his lack of respect for the people's White House. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's his.
Yep.
I think that's what we all have to realize now is it's all his.
Yeah.
It's his military. They're his generals. It's his government.
Yeah.
It's his White House.
Yeah, he does.
And he can do anything he wants.
And he's going to have a group of people who will do nothing but defend it in the sickest, most lying-filled way they can.
Well, you should see some of the apologists now for this are like, yeah, well, Obama in 2009 took the tennis courts and turned it into a basketball court. So it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not. No, it's
not. And also, let's just go back to the fact that Trump, the president of the United States, said the existing White House structure would not be touched. That is a lie. Can we just agree on that?
Yeah, he's a liar. He is lying to us directly. Jay from Eau Claire, listening to WCFW, says it doesn't sound like he's going to be leaving if he's doing that much to it.
No kidding.
That's a worry in and of itself. And I just want you for a moment, Jane, to put into your brain the idea of Joe Biden or Barack Obama even talking about doing this. Not even doing it, talking about it.
Be on Fox 24/7.
Someone said it would be World War III. If that happened.
News is coming up next. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about America's beef producers. Oh, boy, they're really happy now. Yeah. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This
is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Months after announcing plans to split into two companies, Warner Brothers Discovery is hinting it may be open to a sale of its entire business. Warner Brothers Discovery owns CNN, HBO, HBO Max, TNT Sports, and the Discovery Channel, among others. 3 weeks into the government shutdown, and there's a crucial date ahead.
Time is running out. Obamacare open enrollment starts November 1st, less than 2 weeks away. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries telling me,
by that point, tens of millions of people across the country will realize that their health insurance premiums, copays, and deductibles have skyrocketed.
Republicans refusing to negotiate on health care while the government is shut down.
ABC's Jay O'Brien in Washington, November 1st, also the date federal food assistance programs are expected to run out of money. A portion of the White House has been demolished to make way for